I deem it necessary for us to have Bible study tonight, because I know that next Thursday is ablaze all the way to Sunday, and the week after would normally be ablaze in retrospect, when we would look at the various sessions, what we learned, and all of that. So I deemed it very important, no matter how inconvenient it is for me and for some of you, for us to at least have this session tonight. And I do trust that, again, as we remind ourselves from the Word of God, some of the things I'm going to say are not necessarily new. You've heard them before, you hear them again. But I do trust that the Holy Spirit will illuminate these words to your hearts so that you can learn something and be a whole lot better in the name of Jesus. One person said amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. And then I will go to Romans 12 and verse 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Somebody say, I have the mind of Christ. Now, he doesn't say that you are going to have. He says you already have the mind of Christ. When the enemy really wants to trouble us, when the devil wants to do his work, one major trouble spot in each of our lives is our mind. If I'm going to use a general word, I will say our soul. But then the soul is divided into three compartments. We have the mind, we have the will, and we have the emotions. Trouble can come in any of those areas, but especially the mind. Because the mind is a powerhouse in the soul. That's where thoughts come from. A lot of our thoughts are processed in the mind. Now, the mind is not everything. There is also our spirit. Now, that's the part of us that is born again and recreated after God. Our soul is being renewed by the Word of God. Our body remains the same. Even though your spirit is born again, your soul is going through what is called renewal process by the Word of God, but then your body remains the same. If you were light-skinned before you got born again, when you got born again, did you become dark-skinned? I want response to that. If you were dark-skinned before you got born again, the day you got born again, did you suddenly become light-skinned? So the body remains the same, including in its appetites. The flesh wants pleasure, doesn't want stress, doesn't want to pray, wants to continue to live like it used to live. If you were sexually active before you got born again, your flesh wants to continue to be sexually active. If you were taking drugs before you got born again, if you were drinking alcohol before you got born again, your flesh naturally wants to continue on that path. Even though your spirit is not born again and your spirit repels those things now, the real you on the inside, the part of you that is born again, hates sin, does not want to sin, does not want to do anything that is against God. But you see, your body wants to continue to live that way. That's why you find Christians who claim to be born again, but they live like the rest of the world. You can't tell the difference between their past lives and their present lives. Now, the Bible calls such people carnal Christians. So there are spiritual Christians, there are carnal Christians. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? So there are two kinds of, maybe Christians will say, or believers, carnal and those who are spiritual. Those who are spiritual are those who are led by the Spirit. They allow the Holy Spirit to lead their born-again human spirit, and their born-again human spirit transmits information to their soul, to their mind, and then the mind gives instruction to the body. That's the way, that's the chain of command. It is supposed to be from the spirit and then through the soul to the body. In other words, if I wake up in the morning tomorrow, when we wake up, your spirit says, it's the day of the Lord. We are fasting as a church. A blaze is coming. Now, when we fast, we deny our flesh certain privileges. We stay away from food. And you can even fast social media. You just don't want to be distracted too much. You want to focus so that you can take some more time to pray. Not because social media is a sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? You just want to take away your attention from certain things just to be able to focus on God. Now, your spirit tells you that. And your spirit rejoices because you are on a spiritual exercise. All right? You want to be on a spiritual exercise. Fasting is exercise for your spirit. Just like jogging, walking, going to the gym is exercise for your body. That's for your body. That doesn't make you spiritual. If you like, spend 10 hours in the gym every day, doesn't make you spiritual. But it helps your body. And your body likes it. Your body, well, may not even like it, right? But it's helpful for your body. Exercising is helpful for your body. Now, so when you fast, you're on a spiritual exercise. Your spirit is glad. What's your problem? Can you go and sit at the back? Now, your spirit man picks information from the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then it transmits it through your soul and then down to your body. That's the chain of command of a Christian. That's how we should live our lives. But when you are now taking information from the body, whatever your body dictates is what you do. Whatever your body feels like doing. You just feel like watching a very terrible X-rated movie. You are alone at home, nobody's there. And it's all pornographic. You just feel like it. And you get on your phone. And you spend 30 minutes watching that. That is carnality. That's a feeling from your body. Because your body has a voice. The voice of the body is called feeling. If you're writing, you can write it down. The voice of your body, the voice of your flesh is called feeling. Feeling. That's why you say, I feel like, you know, I just feel like eating. I feel like sleeping. I feel like, you know, just traveling. I just feel like doing something. That's the voice of your body. Whenever your body wants something, it will speak. It will speak. The voice, the body has a voice. The voice of the body is feeling. That's why you cannot afford to live your life by feeling. You can't afford to do that. You know that feelings are wrong many times. You know you can have the right feelings for the wrong person. And that's why you can't choose a life partner based on feelings. And feelings sometimes are short-lived. It will shock you if you leave Ibadan and go to Port Harcourt. You have the same feeling for another person. Feelings can be influenced by who you see. Regular communication. Regular contact. You keep chatting on WhatsApp with this person every time. You exchange pictures. You see videos of each other, blah, blah, blah. You are always in the face of each other. Feelings will develop. That is the voice of the flesh. But you cannot afford to live your life like that. There are days you wake up in the morning and you will not feel like praying. I can guarantee you that. Those of you who are students, there are days you wake up, especially medical students, that you have to read and read and read, and you don't even feel like reading. There are days you won't feel like praying, even as a Christian, even as a pastor. It doesn't matter. You won't even feel like reading your Bible. But we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by feeling. 1 Corinthians 5:7. We don't walk by feeling. We don't walk by feeling. We don't walk by sight. When we say sight, we're talking about the natural realm. All right? And that is connected to your flesh. We don't walk by what we see. All right? Did I get that right? No. That's a wrong scripture I quoted. What the scripture I'm looking for is we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's wrong. You You can get that for me, media, please. It's one of my very, 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 very... 2 Corinthians 5:7. Thank you. It's actually 2 Corinthians. It's still 5:7, but it's 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by feeling. We don't walk by how we feel. All right? Because we will feel. Now, move on to the next level. Your soul. Your soul also has a voice. The voice of the soul is called reason. Reason. Or some people call it reasoning. Your reasoning, R-E-A-S-O-N or R-E-A-S-O-N-I-N-G, your reasoning, that's the voice of the soul. When the soul wants something, it goes into the level of reasoning. And you know this reasoning sometimes is the reason, the reasoning is the reason that people are cut short. They fall short of the blessings of God. God wants to give you something big and he wants you to have faith, but you just reason it out. You overanalyze it. Can I really do that? Am I up to the task? God says, go and meet that person. Tell them you want the job. But then you say, no, I'm not done with school yet. As a matter of fact, yes, I'm done, but I don't have my certificate to hand yet. I thought the normal routine is to have my certificate and then do a CV and then go for NYSC and then come back and get a job. Meanwhile, you need money. You need a job. You have time to work before NYSC, and God says, by his spirit, to your spirit, go and meet that person and tell him you need a job. But then your reasoning says, no, yeah, I want a job. Yeah, I have time. I can work for another 6 months, but I'm not sure I want to go to that person because what if they ask me for my CV? And you fail to make that move. Boom, you don't have the job. The reason many Christians are broke now. Reasoning. God says, I want to give you this. You say, oh no, I'm not up to the task. God said, okay, so Moses, send the spies. Let them go and look at the promised land, the land I want to give you. And Moses sent 12 of them there. Out of the 12, 10 came back and said, in the eyes, look, giants live in that city. The city that God said he wants to give us. There are giants in that land. And as a matter of fact, the walls are, they are built up to heaven. Now, exaggeration. And number three, all right, even though we brought pomegranates, we brought fruits from that land as a testament that they actually got there, giant fruit, giant-sized fruit. They said, in our eyes, we are like grasshoppers before those people. And even in their eyes, we are like grasshoppers. Excuse me. In your own eyes, you may look like a grasshopper before someone. But how did you get into the mind of that person to now see yourself as a grasshopper? Through their mind. How do you see yourself through my mind? You can't see yourself through my mind. You can see yourself through your own mind. Because you have a functional mind. And that's why people have low self-esteem or high self-esteem. The way they see themselves. How do you then see yourself through someone else's mind? They subjected the promise of God to reasoning. Only Joshua and Caleb, 2 out of 12, came back and said, hey! Because the moment the 10 gave the report to the children of Israel and to Moses, the children of Israel started crying. Now, Moses wants to go and waste our lives. They said there are giants in the land. How do we enter? How do we possess a place of giants? Moses, then Joshua and Caleb brought a different report. They said, look, God has given us that land. The land is flowing with milk and honey. Look at the fruits we brought from the land. Oh, yes, we know that there are giants in the land, but they are bread for us. God has made them bread for us. Let us go up at once and possess it. They had a different way of thinking. So where somebody sees a big problem, someone else sees a big opportunity. Reasoning. The voice of the soul. And then the last voice is the voice of your spirit. Your spirit has a voice. It is called conscience. Somebody say conscience. Some people have their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's what the Bible tells us in Timothy. Now, the danger of living in sin constantly is that it begins to affect your conscience. The voice of your spirit will begin to be very low, so low that until a point that you don't even hear your spirit anymore. As a Christian, it's not that we don't make mistakes. Sometimes we fall into sin, all right? But for a believer, 1 John 1:9 says that you go to the Father, you repent, and then they will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You don't explain it away. You don't justify it. You don't build a tabernacle on it. You don't say it's nobody's business. It's just between me and God. No, you don't have that kind of attitude. All right? He said if we confess our sins, because we may choose to not do it. A lady was talking to me yesterday about a church at some point, and in that church, they usually teach them. Up until now, she was in UI at that time, so one of these fellowships, and then turn to a church. They tell them that when you fall into sin, or when you sin, you don't need to confess it. You don't need to repent. Just move on, because Christ has taken care of your sin, past, present, and future. So the one you have done, he has taken care of it. The one you are doing right now, he has taken care of it. The one you will do, he has taken care of it. Now, that is partially true. But there is nothing as dangerous, in fact, nothing more dangerous than half-truth. That he has made the provision. Yes! No matter what you do in 10 years' time, Jesus is not going to come back and go to the cross and say, oh, Busola, you did this? I didn't expect that. So I'm going to go to the cross only because of you. Nah, never. That is never going to happen. So whatever you do in the future is taken care of. But the way they say it, you don't need to confess. You don't need to repent. You need to just carry on because it has been taken care of. No, it has been taken care of, yes. But you don't need to repent. No, you have to repent. If truly the Spirit of God is still in you, how do you feel if someone you love very much hurts you and then they feel no big deal? And they rub it on your face. I took your money. I ate your food. I wore your clothes. And so what? Don't you also do the same to me? No, I don't. I've never done it. Are you following my line of thought tonight? So your spirit has a voice. And the voice of your spirit is called conscience. Some people don't have a conscience anymore. It is dead. How can you, as a believer, you have alcohol in your house. You drink it to the point that people are now telling you, why are you drinking alcohol? But we thought you were a leader in the church. You say, what's wrong with that? I mean, you know. And then you give explanations. A friend of mine in this church went to see somebody, a pastor in his church, Monday morning, for a business meeting. And on the pastor's table was a chilled bottle of beer. The bottle was sweating. My friend said he could not concentrate because this is a very charismatic man of God. In this city at that time, that man, if he preached, even me, I would listen twice. Like, man, this guy could speak. This guy had, he could just speak, so to speak. But that was all he had. They have a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. Christianity is not in talk. It's in how you live your life. It's in how obedient you are to the Holy Spirit. It's in how yielded you are to the Holy Spirit when nobody's watching. When he saw that my friend couldn't really concentrate, he said to him, now, I know you are distracted by what you see on my table. This doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's normal. In the Bible, you find Paul saying to Timothy that he should take little wine for the infirmity of his stomach. Sir, do you have an infirmity in your stomach? And is this wine? And everybody thinks that if it is wine, they must be alcoholic. Have you forgotten that there's also fruit wine that is non-alcoholic? Because some people will soon tell you that, even Jesus turned water to wine. People have different, there are pastors who drink beer. They don't care, they drink beer. A friend of mine said to me, he went to the bedroom of a pastor, and you see bottles of beer. In this city, the man is even a bishop. A bishop. Now, what would you tell you? And they do it in secret, though. If you stumble on them, yeah, they will explain it away. But they don't preach the same thing to their members. You know what? Over time, the Holy Spirit must have been telling them, no, this is wrong. You can't do this. And I bojo. Holy Spirit, just look away from it. I will repent. And they will do it and repent. And then do it again and repent. And then do it again and repent. And then do it again and repent. And then after some time, they see
to repent anymore.
At that time, the conscience is dying. The conscience is being silenced. If you keep advising somebody, every time you tell them, what you are doing is wrong, stop doing this. And say, leave me alone. It's your business. You know, because you love the person, you do it again, they shout you down. You do it again, they shout you down. After a while, you know you will keep quiet. You can quench the spirit. Let me show you that. First Thessalonians. That's the same way people quench the Holy Spirit. And then they now come up with funny doctrines. And then they justify whatever it is that they are doing. They are very terrible lifestyle. Let's take it from verse 17. First Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. In everything, verse 18, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Next verse. Quench not the Spirit. And you can see Spirit there in capital letter S. Because you can quench the Holy Spirit. Not that you will kill the Holy Spirit, no, but you will quench his voice that is speaking to your human, born-again human spirit. You can shut him down. And the Holy Spirit does not really force himself on people. Amen? That's why we need to be careful. We need to be careful. When you're doing something and you're really enjoying it, and you gauge it by the word of God, and you know this thing is not right. It is just not right. It is just not right. It is just not right. You are collecting money from the wrong person. You keep collecting money. And you say, there's nothing between us. I'm not going to date him. I'm not going to allow him to sleep with me. But you keep collecting money from the person. As a child of God, certain things are just not right. The people of the world can say, oh, it's free money. It's this. But can you evangelize to that person? Can you minister Christ to him? The Holy Spirit speaks very gently to our spirit man. And so, your spirit now also talks to you. The voice of your spirit is called conscience. That's why when you want to do something wrong, or when you do something wrong, your conscience should prick you. That is your conscience talking to you, saying, repent. Go and meet that person, sort it out. Forgive them and let go and sort it out. Say, no, I will never forgive in my life. I will never. And you can carry on like that, really? You can be a Christian and live in unforgiveness, but for how long will you be a Christian? You are controlled by your feelings. You are controlled by your emotions. You are controlled by your flesh. Such Christians are called carnal Christians. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's take it from verse 5. Romans 8 from verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you are carnally minded, when you are led by your flesh every time, you can't fast, you eat and eat and eat, and you indulge yourself in debauchery. Alcohol, nightclubbing, you do all of these things that sinners do who don't even know the Lord, and you are born again. It says you are carnally minded. Your mind is carnal. You see, it is filled with carnal thoughts. You can't even think of anything spiritual. Every time is about pleasure. It said to be carnally minded is death. He wrote this letter to believers. He didn't write this to unbelievers. He wrote this to believers. Because a believer can choose to be carnal. The only solution to being carnal is for you to renew your mind through the word of God. When you renew your mind by the word of God and through the word of God, that's when you begin to think spiritual thoughts. That's when spiritual things don't become a burden. They become a pleasure. Like you want to be at midweek service. Normally, midweek service... I owe God only Sundays in a week. And there are people who have lived and died, and the only day they went to church was a Sunday. In fact, some didn't go to church at all. They went only December 31st to enter 5 minutes to 12 to shout, Happy New Year! And 5 minutes after 12, they are out of the church. Every year. Once a year like that. You can never be spiritual. I promise you, that person can be spiritual. No. You know, there are some of us who don't believe in going to church, but does it mean we don't serve God? I don't have time for argument, really. Not going to church in itself is contrary to the word of God that tells us to not forsake the assembling together of ourselves. The Bible says every time the church is open, be there. Oh, but I don't have money. That's another wrong way of thinking. When you have a victim mentality, oh, if only I had enough money, I'd have been going to church every service. But because I don't have, such people never have. It is those who don't have, who trek, who break all barriers to be there consistently. God is watching. When your promotion is due, God will bring it. There is a divine timing to every lifting in the life of a child of God. When your promotion is due, God will bring it. God will never, ever look away from the sacrifices of his children. He will never, ever shortchange you. That much I know about God. In due season, Galatians 6:7, and then we'll go to 6:9. Please put that on the screen for me quickly. I'm coming back to Romans. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is not always about money. Yes, we can apply money, but this is not always about money. He said, whatever you sow, you will reap. Do you know that as you're in Bible study tonight, you are sowing? You have come to hear God's word. You have come to pray. You have come to worship. It's a seed you have sown to your spirit man. Because these things don't necessarily help your flesh. Yes, they can, because the word of God can work on your body. It is medicine for your body. That's why you can come to church and we didn't even call for prayer for healing or laying on of hands, and you can be healed. But primarily, this service is a seed to your spirit. And God says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Go to the next verse, quickly. Next verse. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You can't keep sowing to the flesh and reap righteousness. You see the problem? The seed we sow. People often tell me they are dealing with addictions. And they make a big deal out of addiction. Like an addiction is something that can never be broken. Who told you that? You started it, you can end it. Oh yeah. You started it, and I tell you, you can end it. With the help of the Holy Spirit. And with you coming to church and getting your mind renewed and you spending time alone with God in this word, one day all you need is to get up and make up your mind and say, no more, I'm not going to do it anymore. And there is no devil that can stop you, that can stop that resolve. No devil. All the devil has is here, up here. He will suggest it again. And then you go back there again and do it. Oh, Lord, I didn't want to do it. And then you say, no, I'm not doing it anymore. And then you walk away. And then he will suggest it. What if he suggests it and you take that thought and you kill it right there? Say, no, I'm not going to do it. Mr. Defeated Devil, no, I am not going to smoke another cigarette again in my life. Never. I've turned my back on it and I'm not going back there. You have failed. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Does that mean he's not going to come again next week? He will come again next week. And then you tell him the same thing. And then he will come again. You tell him the same thing. He comes 1 year, in a year's time, you tell him the same thing. 5 years' time, you tell him the same thing. After a while, the guy will say, well, let me leave this guy alone. Look, there is no addiction that you can't break. See, stop sowing the seed. It will stop germinating. It's simple. It's like agriculture. I want maize. I want to eat corn. Go and sow it. I want to eat corn next year, but I'm not going to sow. Then you are not going to eat corn. Okay, so I don't like these. For example, maybe you're watching X-rated movies, and you know what that would do to your body chemistry, and then you mess up yourself, and then all of that. Now, what are your triggers? Just look at the triggers. Is it that every time I watch that particular channel, or I go to that particular app, maybe there's a particular app on your phone, delete it. Delete it. No, these are no peace. Delete it. Delete that app. Period. Regardless types of whatever joy it might be bringing you. It can't even bring you joy. Joy is the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:22. When you kill the triggers, that feeling will disappear over time. For he that soweth to his flesh, if it's a particular person that puts you in trouble, you chat with this person and you know that it doesn't end well. I love it. When somebody said to me today, so let me paraphrase it. You know, there are some people that can visit you and you just know that it won't end well. If this guy comes to my house, it won't end well. So the solution is not time for prayer. Let him not come, period. I am not available. Because if he does come, you have provided an occasion for sin. And the Bible says to not make provision for the flesh. There are ways we make provision for the flesh. That's what the Bible is saying here too. For he that soweth to his flesh, when you sow a seed, expect a harvest. It's all about the flesh. My body, my body, my body, my body. Whatever my body wants, yeah, I can't kill myself. I have only one life. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh. The only thing you can reap from the flesh is corruption. But look at the B part of it. But he that soweth to the spirit. So there is a way I can sow to my spirit. How can I sow to my spirit? Luke 8:11. The word is the seed. The seed is the word of God. The seed to sow is the word of God. Sow the seed of the word to your spirit, man. One scripture per day. 30 minutes. Just meditate. You're sowing. You are sowing. But he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap what? Life everlasting. Life everlasting. It sounded like what we read in Romans 8:5, which we're still going to read in Romans 8:6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, to be mindful of the things of the spirit, the things that please God, the things that honor God. You just want your mind to be full of such things. You are thinking of how to win souls. You are thinking of how to walk with God in a deeper dimension. You are thinking of how to walk in holiness. You are thinking of righteousness every day, making righteous and godly choices. You are thinking of, Lord, I want to be led by your spirit. I want to know your will. God, is it your will for me to move to Lagos or stay in Ibadan? What's your will? I want to know your will for my life in every situation. As I'm going to class today, Lord, I want to know your will. You are conscious of God. Come on. God will look in your direction. And let me tell you, the moment you fix your gaze on God like that, we all have challenges and problems. Those problems and challenges will begin to shrink. They will become smaller. Until they disappear, dissipate, dematerialize. You don't even know they don't. You just discover that they don't exist anymore. But guess what? You meet some Christians, under 5 minutes, you see problem written all over them. Problem nisha every time. Problem ogun nisha ni. Ogun ni, ogun. There are certain Christians, there's no other prayer point. Is ogun. Ah! Ogun la ye. You cannot afford to be ordinary. You are going to that church where they're speaking in tongues, they're speaking English. Ah, you will fight. Ah, every night, and they brag on this. I don't sleep 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. That's the time that the witches gather. That's the time to undo their coven. Ma'am, you're going to have a breakdown. You're going to have a nervous wreck. I sleep in the night. When I'm going to bed, I sleep. I go to bed in the name of Jesus. He takes care of me. He that keeps me neither slumbers nor sleeps. Me, the kept, I slumber and sleep. The two of us cannot stay awake at the same time. The God of the day is also the God of the night. If you think it's by praying in the night every time. Now, I pray in the night. Don't get it wrong. There are times that the Holy Spirit wakes me up with the burden to pray. And when I wake up with the burden to pray, I pray. I fire. In fact, I fire until I have rest in my spirit. And then I thank him and go back to bed. If it's a good time to go back to bed. If it's not a good time to go back to bed, that's a carryover, hangover. I'm going to add it to the sleep of the next night. But to think that, many people have lost their jobs because of that. They get to work and they start sleeping. So they fire them. And they say, they have been doing this for God. I'm an intercessor for God. God does not need your prayer. Does your own God need prayer? Let's pray for God. I knew a lady many, many years ago. I was telling my wife, the last time I saw her, she had gone mad. She used to be a member of this church, adult church. Fine lady, fine babe. She had this summarized stature. Summarized, not big, summarized. Beautiful. She was in the choir. Awesome girl. The next thing, on this prayer mountain, you find her there. On that prayer mountain, you find her there. On that prayer mountain. The moment a Christian begins to do like that, or people, you see, even in this church, I've seen the boys who have left as rebels. Go on. I don't want to mention anybody's name, but go and check their lives. The same pattern. They will be in this church, sometimes in this service, and they'll be streaming another church service, another church sermon, another pastor, because the PFE that is talking doesn't have anything to tell them. When they are done, they are not satisfied though, they will still go to another church and go and listen. Any program in Ibadan, maybe they even travel outside Ibadan, I don't know. They are in every program, always learning, never coming to the knowledge of Christ. They never attain maturity. That's always their problem. It's always the beginning of problems. That is the Pentecostal version of what is happening to some people in other climes that are not Pentecostal. The last time I saw this lady, she was in rags. She carried heavy bags, and they always carry bags. Why? Because they have become homeless. So all the clothes, the underwear, everything in the bag. That's a mobile home. I stopped my car. I went to pick my children that day. I'm sure they were wondering what's going on. How come? I wanted to even greet her. She looked demented. You would never say that this lady used to be in the stone church. The last place we saw her, my wife would know the lady I'm talking about. It was in a CSC church very close to where we used to live. And you know CSC, if you come, bring your bags, you can sleep in the church. You can sleep there. They will allow you. You pray. They are very large-hearted. We don't allow that here. You can't come, you can't turn this place to a home. We'll tell you to go and get rent an apartment. Because that's the decent way to live. It's not decent if all of us start living in the church. That's not the kind of life God wants for us. Something is wrong. You see, if the devil can get anybody here, he has gotten them. The moment he suggests to you that the prayer life of your church is not enough, that's problem number one. Now, if the prayer life of your church is not enough, increase your own prayer life and then begin to pray for your church. Is that clear? So that your church will wake up one day and rise up to your own prayer level if you are the superpower. You see these people that complain, hey, we're not praying enough. Go close to them. They don't even pray. They don't even pray. I was talking to somebody yesterday in my office. I said, you really need to pray. He said, Pastor, I pray. I said, not NSPPD. And then she goes, because I know that's her prayer. I see it on her status every morning. I don't have anything against NSPPD. Do you have your own personal time that you talk to God? I'm not talking online prayer. Because these days, people collect prayer online. Next level is there. NSPPD is there. One prophet is there. Friday. Do you have time that God talks to you? Do you know that prayer is not complete until you keep quiet and listen to God? Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call upon me and I will answer you. In most of those online prayers, he doesn't answer you. You don't wait for him to answer you. The moment they end the prayer, your prayer ends. And then I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. God wants to show us great and mighty things about our lives, about our today, about our tomorrow, that we don't know, but we don't have time for him. Do you know that when you even pray in tongues, you are supposed to also tell God to give you the ability to interpret? Pray, Paul said, that you may interpret. Back to Galatians 6, verse 8 says, when you sow to the flesh, you reap from the flesh corruption. And if you sow to the Spirit, you reap from the Spirit life everlasting. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is now inhabiting your born-again human spirit, is living inside your born-again human spirit, and is ministering life, life, life. And I tell you what, when you make time to sow to your spirit, the Spirit will not only minister to your spirit. That ministration will flow also through your mind. There will be mind renewal and will flow to your body. And the Holy Spirit can also refresh and rejuvenate your body. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in your body. Romans 8:11. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your spirit. No, shall also quicken what? Your mortal, physical body. Your body. By spirit that dwells in you. So the Holy Ghost does not just have an effect on your spirit. The Holy Ghost can renew your physical youth. Amen. And that's why I look younger than my age. Amen. You can't spend quality time with the Holy Spirit and not look younger. People think that, oh, go and do some exfoliation, do some this and that. You know, take care of your body is fine, but spend time with the Holy Spirit. It will keep you young. Baba is going to be 70 next year. Doesn't look it. If you see some 55-year-olds, they look older than him. Our lead pastor. He's going to be 70 next year. He doesn't look it. The man is still wearing his chinos and sneakers. And he's playing hard on table tennis. You can't beat him. Forget about it. The best player in this church can't beat him. You can't beat him. I played with him, so I know. And the kind of energy he has, the Holy Spirit can renew your youth. So even if you look older than your age now, if you go again tonight and say, Holy Spirit, I want you to renew my youth. I want to spend time with you. I want you to renew. He will do it. He can have a positive impact on your physical body. If there is a sickness, he can take it away. That's why he didn't give the ministry of removing sickness and disease from our bodies to angels. No, no. Go to Exodus 23. And then go to verse 20. Quickly, please. It's amazing how much I still have in my spirit to share with you, but time is far spent. Behold, I send an angel, capital letter A, before you, to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Continue. I send an angel. Notice, I send an angel. That's God speaking, saying he sends an angel, right? Verse 21. It says, beware of this angel. Beware of him. And obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Don't provoke that angel, because he won't pardon your transgression. He's an angel. He can't forgive your sin. All right? Now, go to the next verse. Go to verse 25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. Who is the he that will bless your bread and your water? No, not God. The angel. I send an angel before you. God is still speaking. And God said he. God can't be referring to himself saying he. He will say I. So he referred to himself later in that verse. He said, and I, God, will take sickness away from the midst of you. So to bless your bread, to bless your water, that is the work of your angel. Do you understand that? And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he, the angel, shall bless your bread and bless your water. And I, first person singular pronoun, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Next verse 26. And There shall nothing cast their young. You won't have abortions. All right, one person said amen. Not be barren. So it is wrong for you to do business and not make profit because God said you won't be barren. And it's wrong for you to be in any field and you lack creativity. You just don't know what to do. You lack ideas. You lack concepts. You're just barren. No! And none will cast their young nor be barren in your land. The number of your days. It didn't say you will fulfill. People pray that for people on their birthday and it's a wrong prayer. The number of your days you will fulfill. No, the number of your days I will fulfill. I'm the one who knows the number of your days and I will fulfill it. It will happen until the last. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. These are scriptures you can take up to renew your mind. Maybe people are dying around you, young people, and you're scared. Sometimes you go on social media, RIP, rest in peace, gone too soon. It happens. And guess what the devil does? He will attack you. He will attack your mind with those thoughts of death. Maybe in your school, somebody died in your hostel. And then before you know it, another semester, someone else died. Some people, you know what they do? They run away from the hostel. As if that death can't follow them where they are running to. The solution is not in the physical location. It's in your spiritual location. Where are you? My life is hidden in Christ, in God. Give me Colossians 2:2. Real quick. I'm helping you to think tonight. Colossians 2:2. Give me 3:3. Colossians 3:3. Colossians 3:3. Colossians 3:3. 3:3. For ye are dead to the flesh, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Somebody say, my life is hidden with Christ in God. So if anybody is going to get you, they will have to get God, deal with God, get Christ, deal with Christ, and get you. Tell me who is going to overcome God. Anybody will overpower God? Let this form your thinking. So stop running away from witches and wizards. My life is hidden in Christ, in God. My life is hidden with Christ, in God. What's the meaning of Christ? The anointed one. And his anointing. And it is the anointing that destroys the yoke, according to Isaiah 10:27. He's the anointed one. I'm in him, he's in me. 1 John 4:4. Okay, let's read. Thank you, Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be, it won't be broken. People say, and the yoke shall be broken. No, the yoke shall be destroyed. There's a difference between broken and destroyed. When something is broken, you can mend it. You can put it back together. But when something is destroyed, it is gone. You remember the explosion in January in Bodija? It destroyed houses. They couldn't put them together. Some houses disappeared. They literally sank. Some turned to dust by the power of the explosion. When block turns to dust, how do you put that back together to make a house? You can't make a house. You need to go and get new blocks, get gravel, get sand, get whatever to put it back together. When a chain is broken, you can get a goldsmith, put it back together. But if you make a chain go into corrosion, if it corrodes, it turns brown and then it turns powdery. When you touch it, it will turn to powder. How do you put back together and wear it on your neck as a necklace? That is what the anointing does. It will corrode the chain and turn it to powder such that the enemy cannot put the yoke back on you. Whether it's the yoke of failure, yoke of sickness, yoke of depression, the moment the anointing releases you, the enemy can put it back on you. He will attempt, but you don't allow him. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. Somebody getting blessed tonight? Amen. I wanted to have a different way of thinking. Think differently. Don't think like the rest of the world. Nigeria is hard. No, it's not hard for me. I understand. I'm also feeling the impact because I buy things from the market. But hey, I'm above that economy. Because he that is from above is above all. Amen? Amen. I say he that is from above is above all. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to our canality that we're talking about and then we'll wrap it up tonight. For to be carnally minded, Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you are spiritually minded, when you mind the things of God, I tell you, that's when you will begin to know life and peace. Ah, you have peace. Ah, you have peace. They say, they are bringing keto. They want to test everybody for HIV. You have life and peace. You are at peace because you know you are in Christ. You know the kind of life you've been living. Maybe you lived a reckless life before, but you did your test. You got born again. You gave your life to Christ. And ever since, you've been walking with God. And now, the devil is trying to pull you back. But you say, no. You allow your spirit gain ascendancy over your flesh. You will know life and peace. You won't be shaken. You will be unruffled. But if you are still living that sinful life, they are bringing keto on Sunday. WHO, they want to test everybody. They want to do HIV screening. When shall we resume church? The worldly lifestyle is very expensive, very heavy, it's burdensome, especially when you have given your life to Christ. If you want to sneak to a nightclub, one of the things that will make your heart palpitate is, what if you get there and you meet someone that knows you? Maybe someone you've given a tract before, somebody gave a handbill to invite to church. I say, Sister Tolu. Huh? Then you start explanation, automatic. Actually, I was coming and I wasn't going, but the fact that I'm here is just an attestation to the fact that as I was trying to navigate my way, I just found myself around this. So actually, I came for a meeting, you know, to see one of my clients. Did he ask you? Are you with me, church? As we walk with the Lord, we will know life and peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll wrap up this way. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is an enemy of God, is enmity against God. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Be in the spirit every day. It doesn't mean you're going to have your head in the clouds. Oh, no, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm in the spirit. No, no, no. You live your normal life, but you are conscious of the Holy Spirit. You are conscious of the presence of God. You are conscious of the word of God. In every conversation, you gauge, where is this leading to? If you know it's going to lead somewhere that is not godly, hey, can we shut this down? Can we say something else? You find yourself in the wrong company, you get up and move. You can get up and move. You don't want corruption. You don't want corruption around you. Don't say, I'm strong. I can handle it. Hey, be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communication. Evil communications will stain you. So some associations you need to get away from. Some places, stop going. Some people, cut off from your life. Yeah. You're not keeping malice. Say hello when you see, but don't allow them access your heart. Don't let them have influence over you. Good people have been corrupted. Good people. Good children. A woman told me a story as I close. She said she lives in London. She's a minister of God. And she lost her husband, married another man in Nigeria who had little children. So the new husband, insisted that she must take the last born, allow him travel with him to the UK to join the woman. The woman said, these things have consequences. That what happens many times is when you put that child in a government school, there are drug barons who sell drugs. They go to those schools. As little as those children are, they start affecting their mind by recruiting them. They deceive them with money and gifts. Before you know it, they start giving them drugs to deliver. They won't tell them it's drugs. It's just, you know, just give that stuff to that guy over there. And before you know it, these children are recruited into the drug world. After a while, they start taking the drug. They start selling. They are taking. In fact, some of them become junkies. When they sell, they don't need the money. They will sell in exchange for drugs. Male and female. It's so bad that by the time they mess up their minds, some ladies exchange drugs for sex. They don't need money. They just want to take drugs. They can't cope. Like, when the urge comes, the man didn't listen. He was a pastor, interestingly. He didn't listen. He took the boy along. Long story short, the boy got introduced into drugs, started lifting drugs for people, started selling at a very tender age, from his primary to secondary. Of course, he didn't go to university. By the time he was rounding off his secondary education in London, he was already a mess, a complete mess. When he was deported out of the UK, he was deported with a strong note, never to be allowed to come back to the UK. Because he had become violent, he had gone to prison, he would walk around with a knife in his pocket, he had knives under his bed, he was even going to kill the woman. They brought him to Nigeria, asked me to help him, I tried to help. He wouldn't live the drug life. It's a terrible thing. Just by messing up their minds, by wrong exposure from childhood. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Maybe you got exposed in the wrong way. Maybe the devil messed up with your life years back, using somebody. Maybe you were even molested as a lady. Let's close tonight. Let's close our eyes. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to do mind travel. Some people say you close your eyes and then you go back into the past and think of that situation and try to bring it up. No, that's not scriptural. Be careful. I've been in meetings where that was done. I didn't like it. Yeah, people cried, they cried, but that's not the solution. And some people say, yeah, cry, let it out. Be careful. You see, letting it out is actually letting it in. You are letting in some spirits. We live in a very spiritual world. Jesus didn't heal anybody by telling them, now close your eyes. Lazarus, remember the day you died. Oh yeah, remember how you died. Oh, Mary Magdalene, remember the first time you did something wrong and one evil spirit entered you. Remember, okay, now. We pray in the name of Jesus, and the anointing in that name destroys the yoke. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Let's close our eyes. Precious Father, thank you tonight for this class. Thank you. Your word says in Psalm 124 and verse 7, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Precious Father, whatever it is that has captured the soul of your children, whatever trauma from their past life has refused to let them go, tonight I take authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, and I command that yoke be broken and be destroyed in the name of Jesus. And I command healing. Let it come speedily into your mind. Healing speedily into your soul. Your soul escapes tonight as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. Not only has your soul escaped, the snare itself is broken. And you have escaped in the name of Jesus. From tonight, you receive thoughts from God. Thoughts from the Holy Spirit. Thoughts of life and peace. Life and peace. I block every channel through which troubling thoughts come to your mind. You are not going to be troubled again. Can I get a good amen to that? We close the door by the blood of Jesus to troubling thoughts. More in the name of Jesus. Life and peace I command. Every thought coming to you now will bring life and peace, because it will come from the Holy Spirit. Thank you, precious Father. Anyone suffering from insomnia, you've not been able to sleep, or you've not been sleeping well, that terminates. I command insomnia in the name of Jesus. When you hit your bed tonight, because the Bible says in Psalm 127 verse 4 that God gives sleep to his beloved. Because you are his beloved, you will sleep like a baby. For the first time in a long time, you will sleep like a baby. In fact, some of you would fall asleep earlier than usual tonight. And you will enjoy your sleep. Tomorrow you wake up refreshed, strengthened, and blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. Depression is out. Depression is gone. The joy of the Lord bubbles in.